to Real Estate Coaching Radio, America's number one trusted resource for realtors who demand authentic, real-time coaching. Starring award-winning real estate coaches Tim and Julie Harris. Get ready for unfiltered, full-strength honesty about what is truly working to get you into action and make you money in this new real estate boom. Now to our hosts, Tim and Julie Harris.
Welcome back to Real Estate Coaching Radio. We are your eager hosts, how about that, Julie, Tim and Julie Harris, and we're really looking forward to finishing the radio show where we left it off yesterday, and the topic of the show, of course, was how to get unstuck, 12 easy steps to overcome complacency. And Julie, I have to say I'm extra enthusiastic about today's radio show, if that's even possible, not only because I just had a cup of coffee, but because the feedback on the radio show yesterday talking about complacency was off the charts. People absolutely loved it. So I really feel good when we're able to deliver to folks, our agents, our listeners, information that they can use right away and help their businesses as long as their personal lives. So Julie, welcome to today's show.
Thank you. It's always a pleasure to be here. And I would agree with that overwhelming enthusiasm and certainly highly applicable stuff that you can use any time of year, any stage of your business, any time you're falling into feeling stuck or complacent. So I think it's a great topic.
It is. So, Julie, you know, this is something that you and I, you know, guys, one of the blessings about coaching is that it's very cathartic. And what that basically means is it's really hard to coach somebody to do something if you're not doing it at the highest level yourself. You know, I mean,
you call it cathartic. I call it accountability, but I'll go with cathartic. It sounds better.
Yeah. Well, but it is in a way, though, because really at the end of the day, you know, it helps us on a personal level. So there's a really a big return other than just financial from being a real coach. And a real coach, and let's define it, is not just somebody who are you. And some of you guys are in coaching programs and you think you're receiving coaching because, you know, you're listening to somebody sort of dictating or, you know, giving you a little mini presentation on the phone once a week, and they're not really coaching you. They're not asking you questions. They're not helping you self-discover, you know, the path to your accomplishing your goals. I mean, real coaching is something completely different than I know what a lot of you have experienced in the past. But so those of you who are existing coaching students or have been coached properly before, at least have that experience, you know, it is a blessing because it is cathartic. But Julie, you know, every day we do, you know, free coaching calls. And one of the questions I had today, which I thought was really interesting, I thought it was actually really interesting. This agent just had one question. How often does that happen, right? Mm-hmm. And the one question was, this was someone, by the way, who just signed on, became one of our coaching students, is what would be the one, other than, you know, the more traditional things that we talk about, the pillars of their business, the over-the-phone prospecting, all that, what would be the one product or service that they should employ in their business immediately that would get have the most immediate effect on generating listing leads, right? Mm-hmm. So other than, you know, the traditional things that have been around for decades, the, you know, the centers of influence and the, you know, all that stuff, what would be the one thing that they could do to generate listings the fastest? And you know what? I love the question because I didn't even have to think about the answer. The answer was Mojo. I mean, mm-hmm. Julie, can you think of anything more powerful than MojoSells.com at really generating consistent listing leads?
No, definitely
I can't
not.
Think of anything else.
If your intention is to build your listing inventory and then maintain your listing inventory, it's really a must-have for the sake of efficiency and really delegating some of the hassle factor of doing that, which is a very big excuse that agents use why they don't do it more regularly. So there's a great solution for that. And I would agree with you. If you had to choose one thing, that'd be at the top of the list.
And I love it, too, because it's like a complete system, and it's turnkey, and it's, you know, on your computer. And if you guys don't know what Mojo Sells is or Mojo, what they offer, it's, you know, like a lot of people, if they've heard what Mojo is, they'll say, well, it's a dialer. But it's so much more than a dialer. That's the reason I'm so, I mean, honestly, it's one of those products that everyone should have in their real estate practice. You guys can debate all day long about which CRM will work best and what direct mail campaign will work best. Yeah, all this email follow-up and, you know, lead capture and whatever and whatnot. You know, all those things are kind of optional, but if you're serious about your real estate business or you're serious about becoming a listing agent, there isn't any question that you should definitely be using MojoSells.com. I believe that I'm going to ask our producer because I think that we have a discount code. If you guys are interested in that, you can click on the show description and check out Mojo yourself. Definitely consider jumping to the three dialer widget. That basically, I mean, we did an interview with one of the founders of Mojo Cells, I think in December or January. I don't remember. It was a few months ago. But anyway, go back and listen to that interview, or at the very least, check out what they have to offer. So today we are talking about something I know you guys are really excited about, how to get unstuck, 12 easy steps to overcome complacency. And Julie, because I know we have a lot of points, let's just not even do a commercial today. What do you say?
Sounds good to me.
I'm curious, Jules, what is the reactions from the folks that you've been exchanging emails with, your students, the feedback been so far on this topic? What have you been hearing? Anything that surprised you?
Well, the fact that pretty much all of them say, yeah, you're talking to me, or you were talking to me back, you know, I felt this way back first quarter last year, and I'm taking steps to make sure that this quarter this year isn't going to be a trouble. Or maybe they had trouble, you know, in the middle of the summer because their market started to slow down, and that made them almost embrace complacency because they had a built-in excuse. When things happen, sometimes it's easy to just sort of use that as your complacency excuse. So whether it's today that you're feeling that way, or whether you can identify a time last year or 2 years ago, or when the market had a big swing in it, these are applicable ways to fix, to cure your complacency. So I think really nothing particularly surprising, except maybe to the depth of which they're taking it to heart and implementing. And, you know, as coaches, we try and keep a very close eye on the complacency issue at all times. So if we're talking to you guys weekly, it's certainly less of an issue. But still, you know, you can feel complacency for maybe every day you feel it between 2 and 4 p.m. because that's not your time. Well, recognizing that maybe you're more productive in the morning. There's lots of ways that we can address this to keep you ultimately in momentum and overcome complacency, whether that's a short or a long-term thing for you. So I'm really impressed with what our clients and future clients or students are doing with this, because this is a really prevalent, important topic. If you can't overcome this, it's going to cost you money. So it's something to get in front of.
Well, it's going to cost you quality of life. It's going to cost quality of life from the people that you love. It's going to affect how you live. I mean, honestly, it's really everything. So yeah, I mean, I agree with everything you said. Those were my experience as well. So Julie, I believe we left off yesterday. And again, guys, because we have a lot of ground to cover today, 7 points, I think. Please listen to yesterday's radio show. We gave you a little quiz to take, 4 questions to ask yourself to determine whether you're in complacency. So go back and listen to that radio show. All right, Jules, so we are, I believe, at point number 3, correct?
You got it. So point number 3, again, how are you going to actually overcome complacency? Yesterday's show was identifying if you're in it, so what are we going to do about it now? Point number 3, clean and clear your office and or home environment. I would include your car, since you are in real estate showing property to and from. Clean and clear your office and your environment. Examples of the perfect office environment, we talk about that a lot with the Real Estate Treasure Map, which is our business plan. But really, it starts with controlling your environment. If you're not controlling your environment, it's a lot harder to control what's going on in your head. So when I work with coaching clients on this, Tim, I have them do before and after pictures, which is accountability, and it's also kind of fun for us to see the transformation.
Well, it's also kind of scary to see pictures of their current office situations. And as you like
their
to say, seeing
pads.
All the little goat, yeah, the goat path. Well, explain to them what a goat path
fire
is.
Hazard. Cause
yeah. Well, so, I mean, your typical before pictures, Julie, what do they look like?
Well, I mean, in some cases, maybe it was an advertisement for that show Hoarders, you know, like real estate file hoarders or something. And so a goat path is what you would imagine, a little tiny path about the size of goat hooves being able to navigate through your fire hazard office. Some of you guys, I don't know if you're convinced that you're supposed to keep every piece of paper to your last dying breath. I don't know what that's about when everything's digital now and when your brokers keep copies of everything, but some of these before and after pictures are pretty entertaining. But it's important work. So we always hear the same thing after they're on the other side of it, which is what a massive burden is relieved when they do this particular point, clean and clear your office. When in doubt, throw it out. If you haven't needed it, some of this stuff that you guys have in your offices has not been relevant for years. Why are you holding on to that stuff?
Well,
your
at the end of the day,
probably 10 times as big as you think it is. Go ahead.
At the end of the day, Jules, it really does come down to, I mean, the most important word on point number three really was the control aspect, right? So guys, if you learn to control your environment, which Julie just talked about, and you learn to control your health, you know, through taking care of yourself, keeping your weight in check, we're going to do a future show on, because I know, you know, the average American is 20 pounds overweight. So we mentioned casually on a radio show, Jules, I don't know if I told you this, late last year, about Atkins, you know, not something, we're not health coaches, this isn't something we're real experts at, but we've used personally, I mean, it was back when Julie and I were selling real estate, so it's been over 10 years ago, but we both had gained some weight, and we're trying to figure it out, and we started doing Atkins and started working out, and we've never gained the weight back. And I mentioned it casually, that what I just told you guys, and I had really an amazing experience of folks that said they went out and bought the book, put themselves on Atkins, and lost weight and was thanking me for it. And I didn't even remember honestly telling the story on the radio show. Guys, weight is a big thing. Obviously, controlling your environment's a big thing. And the last thing is control your finances. If you can control those things, keep yourself out of debt, keep your body healthy, and keep your environment clean. If you think about it, if you have those three things that you're monitoring and that you're controlling, you will pretty much have a very balanced life where you, things will be predictable and duplicatable. So, Jules, what is the next point?
Point number four is to raise your standards so high that they can't be reached through business as usual. So, Tim, you have a great analogy where you talk about shooting the arrow and
right.
how that relates to raising your standards super high. So can you talk about that a little bit?
Sure. So imagine having a bow, and you're back in summer camp, okay? So you're back in Boy Scouts or Girl Scouts or whatever, and you have a bow and arrow in your hand, and you're shooting the arrow down the field. So can you guys visualize that? Can you feel the tension of the bow and the arrow in your hand? Can you see the circular target that's down the field? Now, when you see that, what do you see? You see, obviously, the bullseye, which is the goal. You're supposed to hit the arrow to the bullseye, and you see the other rings around the bullseye. And then obviously there's the space outside of the actual target, which if you're completely off, you won't even hit the bullseye or you won't even hit the target. So here's the analogy, really. So if you're trying to hit the bullseye and you're trying to accomplish your goals and you're aiming at the bullseye down the field, and when you release that arrow, you're aiming at the bullseye, where does that arrow go? Does it go above the bullseye, below the bullseye, or at the bullseye? It goes below the bullseye because you're aiming at the target. Gravity pulled the arrow down, right? You guys get this? So if you're wanting to aim, if you aim below the target, obviously you probably won't even hit the target at all. Or below the bullseye, you probably won't even hit the target at all. So in other words, for you to accomplish your goal, you actually have to aim above the bullseye. Not above the target. Above the target would be unrealistic goals, as some of you guys torture yourselves with setting. You know, a realistic increase in your business this year, because this is going to be a strong year for the real estate, our economy, everything's on the up and up, as we've been promising you it would be for the past 2 years. So aim above the bullseye, but aim at the target, and what's going to happen is you'll at least hit the bullseye. Does that make sense, Julie?
Absolutely. I love that analogy because everybody can visualize that. So shoot big, right? Raise your standards so high, it should make you a little bit uncomfortable, but then think about shooting the arrow.
I love this next point, Julie, because really a lot of folks come to us as coaches. I think a lot of the people are gravitating towards us because they're looking for motivation. Maybe they've been with other coaching companies before. Maybe they've coached before. They've listened to the radio show. They've kind of gotten to know us. I mean, if you guys listen to the radio show, you pretty much know us. It's pretty transparent on this radio show as much as we really can be. So, you guys come to us for motivation, and the problem, going back to the previous goal, is when you're setting goals, you don't set goals big enough. So, Jules?
Right. So set what we lovingly call big, hairy goals. What does that mean? Ask yourself these questions. If I won the lottery, what would I want my life to look like? What would I drive? Where would I live? What clothes would I have? What financial stresses would I no longer have? Where would I travel? Who would I spoil? Write these goals down. Choose which of them you will absolutely accomplish in the next 12 months. So remember, a goal is a dream with a deadline. If you don't have a deadline, remember we just said in the next 12 months, some of you guys might want to say in the next 90 days, you can do quarterly goals as well, but there has to be a deadline. Otherwise, it's just a thought, it's just a dream. You've got to actually hold yourself accountable to this. So ask those questions. Take a second, sit down where it's quiet. You don't have any distractions. Turn your cell phone off and just write down, if I won the lottery, what would be different? What would I be wearing? What would I be driving? Where would I live? What stresses would melt away? Where would I travel? Who would I spoil? Write all those goals down and then make a commitment to it. See, the best thing about real estate, Tim, I think, is that there's no income level. Nobody's going to say to you, oh, I'm sorry, you've topped out the income level of this particular position at the company.
No one other than yourself, right? Yeah, exactly.
Right.
Well, so Julie, the next point, point number six, is really important. And it plays right into when you're setting your goals and you're setting your big, hairy goals. And it's called schedule the big rocks first. So what do we mean by that?
Well, so schedule the big rocks first. We originally heard the story from Howard Brinton, I believe. And
yep.
It goes like this. You waste too much time with the little tiny rocks. So imagine that you've got a big, clear jar. And you've got a pile of rocks. You've got small rocks, you've got medium rocks, you've got big rocks. If you put all the small ones in first, you won't actually be able to stuff those big rocks in on top. You won't have any room for them. So big rocks are the things that get you paid, right? So those have to go in the jar first, and then the little rocks will fall all around them, and you'll be able to fit all of it in. So here's a warning. Don't become complacent about your schedule or falling into the contact trap. Contacts by themselves are meaningless. Appointments are the big rocks.
That's right. So guys, there's something to think about when you're setting your big goals, when you're setting, you're deciding where your focus is going to be every single day. Take that big rocks jar analogy, the visualization that Julie just shared with you. Take that to heart and really ask yourself whether or not you're putting the big rocks in first. Because if you're filling your day, or if you're choosing goals that are too small, little pebbles, then you're really never going to accomplish the types of things in life that you otherwise could accomplish. And there is really nobody that's holding you back from having an extraordinary lottery-winning life other than yourself. So, Joel, the next point, point number seven.
Point number seven is if you have staff, whether that's a big staff or just a transaction coordinator, some buyer's agents, whoever you have, hold each of them accountable for overall success, rather than having big team goals. Why is that? Well, it's really common for low-performing, complacent, or semi-complacent agents to hide out on teams. So from here forward, make it so you have no riders, only rowers in your boat. You've got people who are actually pushing things along, not just along for the ride. So make it so everyone has to at least pay for themselves every month. So Tim, what would be an example of a team member at least paying for themselves?
And a great book you guys might want to read, or definitely if you're one of our coaching students, you're going to be assigned to read, is, Profits Aren't Everything, They're the Only Thing, right? Profits aren't everything, they're the only thing. And actually, oddly enough, that book was referred to me by one of our existing coaching clients who's gone off and invested in other businesses now and has a net worth in the low eight figures. And that's a fantastic book. You guys should definitely be reading that book. So what does it mean? If you have, for example, an administrative assistant, and all of you, you know, as you scale your business, as you will. So you have an administrative assistant. Let's say that administrative assistant costs you $40,000 a year. They're a straight up expense. And, you know, you say, well, that's just an expense and cost of doing business. Well, I would challenge you on that. Here's my suggestion. Opposed to just writing that off as an expense like a utility bill, instead consider having that administrative assistant start to do a required number of, say, for example, BPOs every single day, week, month, enough to at least pay their own salary. Consider a way to make it so that every single person that you pay generates enough revenue for your business that they aren't a true expense in the traditional sense. They actually become mini profit centers. Another way to think of it is, you know, you guys have teams, and what teams and, you know, in itself, the concept of it, of course, if you're going to scale your business and do more transactions, you're going to have administrative assistants. Where real estate folks, and a lot of small business owners, by the way, screw it up is, A, they don't hold people accountable to results. They basically build a ship, and then they load a whole bunch of people on, and then there's not enough rowers because there's so many riders, the ship, you know, will sink. That's the visualization again. Julie and I love our visualizations. So every single person in your boat, in your business, has to have an oar in their hand, and they have to be rowing, or they get tossed out. That's really the bottom line. And be very, very careful of agents, and this happens a lot. You know, you guys build your businesses, you start adding salespeople sometimes, or brokers, this is certainly true, and they want to hide out in teams. They want to basically, let's have a group goal. That just means they're weak and they don't want to be held individually responsible. They don't want to be held accountable. So watch out for those things. So Jules, the next point about numbers is one of the most important numbers, but it's also kind of interesting because a lot of agents have such a big challenge with it. Point number eight, Julie.
That's right. And again, the treasure map helps you with all of this. So point number eight, be stone cold honest about your actual numbers. What do we mean by that? Well, know your cost per lead, your cost per closed buyer side, per seller side transaction. Know your net. Don't be surprised to learn that you might be making less than 20% net before taxes if you have a traditional, quote, team. You have lots of cost per transaction, so actually know your expenses down to the nickel. Examples on how to use money management systems, well, Mint.com is great. A lot of our coaching clients use that. If it makes sense for you to hire and pay a bookkeeper, that might be the magic ticket for you, especially those of you who hate that kind of data entry and tracking types of things. And there's so many online different sources for this. It's really become much easier than it used to be when we all just did Quicken all day long, right? So there's really no excuse. But the point is, actually know your numbers. It makes a big difference.
Then,
so Tim,
that's right. Now, well, point number nine, Julie, is a point that I think is really important because a lot of agents don't know that they have become procrastinators. And you and I actually talked about this just the other day. And Julie and I were actually debating whether being a perfectionist is the same as being a procrastinator. And I was, you know, basically saying that perfectionism is just an analytical's way of procrastinating. And Julie, being prominently analytical, was debating with me on that, as she would. But the conclusion we came to is there are certainly times when you have to be a perfectionist. If you're doing surgery, for example, you definitely don't want somebody who's not a perfectionist. But here's something that's very interesting, and I heard this from either the CEO of Facebook or Yahoo, I don't remember, and she said, perfectionism, or perfect, is the enemy of done, and I thought that was very important. So at that point, with that in mind, Julie, point number nine?
Point number nine is to focus on what's next. Adopt the following slogan, I'm a doer, I get things done, I do things now. Create small tasks that you can accomplish immediately to help you reach the larger goal. So for example, schedule lunch with three accountants this week to discuss referrals. You may have to go even smaller. Call an accountant on Tuesday, Wednesday, and Friday. Soon you will find it's much easier to get it done immediately rather than postponing it. Otherwise, you will get buried under your list very quickly. So remember your slogan, your new mantra, your new affirmation, I'm a doer. I do things now. I get things done.
Point number 10.
100 times a day. It works.
Point number 10 is be a list maker.
Mm-hmm. Yes, be a list maker. Love to scratch things off the list. Make it so you have a big list, and then the day before, always write down 3 to 5 things that you'll get done the following day. Go over your weekly or daily list and take pride in the tasks accomplished, and do not forgive yourself for the ones missed. Add anything not completed to the following day or week. So, Tim, point number 11.
Well, you know, guys, your homework, one of your two homework assignments actually from today's radio show, and we have two more points. Number one, download the Think and Grow Rich, the real estate edition, the book Julie and I wrote. We're giving that away for free. And included with that is the real estate treasure map, which you've heard us reference. That's, in essence, our business plan. It's not a wimpy business plan, so make sure you eat your Wheaties before you get started on it. So that definitely is something you guys want to take advantage of. There's no opt-in, no fancy business, no, you know, lead generation, nothing. It's just click on the link, go to the website, download it, and it's our gift to you. But as far as being the list maker, here's a way, the secondary homework assignment. Write down a list of everything that's in your mind. We also call it, maybe not as elegantly as we should, a brain dump. So write down everything that's in your mind, everything, personal, business, anything and everything that's in your mind. Write it on one big list. Absolutely clear your mind. Now, from that list, go through and decide what's urgent. Urgency is dependent on what's going to make you money. Remember, we're business coaches. What's going to make you money the quickest? So stay focused on whatever items are in your list that are going to make you money the quickest. The other items, by the way, that are floating around in your mind that are weighing you down like a ton of bricks on your back, they probably aren't even that important. And then the next level is doing it, right? Following through and doing it, delegating it or ditching it. A lot of the things that are in your mind shouldn't even be on your list, and you'll realize that. If you want to have a little bit of clarity at the end of every day, do that same exercise. Do another brain dump at the end of every day. Let all that stuff go. That way you don't have what Julie calls the real estate night sweat. 11, Julie.
That's right. So point number 11, love the fact that you can always get better. Ask yourself the question, where are my competitors better than me? Or would I hire me over my competitor to list my home? Write down where you know they're better. So if you didn't take that listing you went on last night, find out why and do something about it. You can actually overcome that, but only if you have that information. So stop making excuses, well, I didn't want that listing anyway. Find out why you didn't get it, fix it, and then move forward. So love the fact that you can always get better. So Tim, back to you.
And point number 12, which is obviously self-serving, Julie.
Hire a real coach. Why reinvent the wheel? We make your lives easier and, you know, shorten that path. We can many times recognize what's going on from an outsider's perspective where you're in the thick of it. So I always talk about keeping the train on the tracks. You know, you guys are out there doing your deals, negotiating. You got all kinds of different things going on. You don't always have the time to take a breath and do these things. A great coach will look at this list of 12 things and not have you do all 12, but recognize what's your particular issue. What is your particular personal challenge, and what is the fastest way to implement things that will make an impact to your business, to your income, and to your family?
You know, there should be a bonus point on all of this, but it doesn't necessarily have to immediately to do with complacency, and it is something that Julie and I talked a little bit about yesterday. It's worth repeating. So many of us wait to feel a certain way before we take action. Like, you know, we wait to feel motivated before we actually start doing things that will lead to us being able to help people and make money. And you guys, that is not a sustainable approach to anything to life in general. You can't wait for your feelings to get you into action. The way to evoke action is going to be set aside the feelings and then actually start doing something. And starting to do something could just be exercising a little bit. Starting to do something could just be going to the store today and having a conversation with somebody. It could just be calling a center of influence and past client. It could be anything that's going to get you in the direction that you want to go. Oftentimes, that's what's holding you back. It's just these tiny, tiny little micro steps that lead you down the path. Guys, I read a great book I'm going to share with all of you. It was about the Navy SEALs. And again, another great book you guys should consider, No Easy Day, was written about the Navy SEALs raid on Osama bin Laden. Well, Mark, just came out with a new book called Hero. And one of the stories he shares in Hero is about staying in your 3-foot world. And what that means is he was telling a story about how he was climbing a rock cliff, actually in Red Rock. You guys in Las Vegas know Red Rock National Park. So he was climbing with a group of SEALs, and they were being trained on how to climb up this mountain face, right? And then Red Rock is gorgeous, by the way. If you ever go to Vegas, the Strip is nothing compared to Red Rock. So he gets stuck halfway up and runs out of those little things that you're supposed to hammer into the rock to go on to the next level. And he starts basically having a mini panic attack. Remember, this is a Navy SEAL. So the instructor... He tells a story how the instructor was like a billy goat. So the instructor, with basically free climbs over to him, gathers up all those little things that he's pounding into the rocks because he had ran out, gathers all the ones that he wasn't using that he'd left, you know, down the rock face, 50 feet or 100 feet lower, gathers them up, pulls them out of the rock, brings them up, gives them to the guy, and said, okay, here you got, you know, here, this will help you. And then the guy said, listen, I'm just kind of freaking out. This is the Navy SEAL. I hate heights. And, you know, this is kind of, and the guy said, listen, stay in your 3-foot world. Only focus on what is around you within 3 feet that you can actually have an effect on. I thought that was very interesting, sage advice. And so he took that same advice from that billy goat rock climbing instructor guy, and he said he applied it to the rest of his SEAL career. He applied it to every single situation he was in. You know, he talked about, you know, walking in Afghanistan. It was like in the middle of a snowstorm, in the middle of the night, where it was like negative 20 degrees and the wind was blowing really cold. And, you know, it was colder than the coldest day he ever experienced growing up in Alaska. And he said he remembered the stay in your 3-foot world, and that helped him focus on what exactly was the next step he would be taking. And so he was, you know, talking about the fact that it would literally be the next step, but it would also be what happens next. So when you guys are feeling overwhelmed, get back in your 3-foot world. You know, think about what it is that you, what actions you need to take now that are going to have the biggest impact. Look around you. That is your 3-foot world. You know, what you're listening to is within your 3-foot world. The actions you can take with this is within your 3-foot world. So absolutely, positively, you know, if you guys need help, put us in your 3-foot world. Let us help you. Free coaching calls for agents.com. And hey, we finished our points in a half hour. That's victory. So hopefully you guys will benefit from all of this. Your third homework assignment from this radio show, like every other radio show, is please do share this radio show with as many other agents as possible. This is the number one real estate industry broadcast because of you guys. 50,000 growing list of regular listeners is a huge success because of all of you. So please continue to share our radio shows with any agent that you think might benefit from it. In the meantime, all of you have a fantastic day, and we'll happily talk with you on the radio tomorrow.
This program has been a presentation by Tim and Julie Harris, Real Estate Coaching. For more information on our real estate coaching and training programs, visit our website at timandjulieharris.com. Remember to tune in weekdays at noon for upcoming shows. And until next time, thank you for listening to Real Estate Coaching Radio with Tim and Julie Harris.